Just a reminder, there's a sermon outline at the very last page of your worship folder if you choose to follow along with the sermon in that way. How many of you remember Fuzzy Memories from several years ago? It kind of first started. It was made popular in Saturday Night Live, and Jack Handy, he had those random kind of thoughts. And I brought along one this morning that fits where we're going at today. It says, "There used to be this bully who would demand my lunch money every day. Since I was smaller, I would give it to him. Then I decided to fight back. I started taking karate lessons, but the instructor wanted $5 a lesson. That was a lot of money. I found it cheaper to pay the bully, so I gave up karate." So, yeah. Too many times we take that easy path, don't we? The path of least resistance. We pay the bully rather than standing up to him or her. We pay the bully rather than learn how to defeat them. Do we know who our true enemy is today? You know, we have conflicts, relational conflicts, and with people in this world around us, but those are not the true conflicts, are they? If we peel back the surface, we see that there is a spiritual battle going on daily for our souls. One illustration I like to use, like picture that light switch right there. If we were to go and flip that light switch and we were able to see the spiritual battle going on all around us right now, it would drop us to our knees. There is a battle for your souls going on right now between angels and demons, whether we see it or not. Do we know our enemies, the spiritual enemies today? Or better yet, are we building up against them and training ourselves to face this battle today? We must never forget that we live on a battlefield, not a playground. And so many of us are living our lives as if we're living on a playground. When there is a battle going on, again, for your family today, for your faith, your souls, even now. And that reminds me of our hero we're looking at today, which is Captain America, or the Paul of the Bible. Now, Captain America is Steve Rogers. I don't know how much you know about his background. He grew up as a normal, everyday person, a frail young man who was enhanced to the peak of human perfection by some experimental drug. He didn't have superpowers before that, but he was changed through an experimental drug and what they called a Vita Ray in the comic. He was given strength and agility and speed and reflexes and durability and healing at the peak of performance. His body replenishes this super serum as well, and it never wears off. It was part of a project to help the U.S. win World War II. He was indestructible. And as you know, he has that boomerang-like shield that was both offensive and defensive. Captain America's shield was indestructible. It protected him from just about everything. Without that shield, he was nothing. It was his greatness. It was his strength. You know, Paul talks about a shield as well, another kind of shield, a spiritual shield that allows us to face anything in this world today, the shield of faith. He goes on, he says, put on the whole armor of God. Familiar words, right? But we're going to hopefully look at them with some fresh eyes here this morning to dive deeper into what Paul is talking about and to talk more about this battle that is going on. We're going to flip the switch for just a short period of time this morning and explore this spiritual battle going around us today. So we're in this series called, summer series called Hero, looking at how God takes us, ordinary, average, everyday people, and taps us on the shoulder for something extraordinary for the sake of the gospel, that we are heroes in the making. And you know Paul's former life and how God tapped him and he became this incredible mouthpiece for the sake of the gospel. But as we look at today's text, a spiritual battle looms. We're encouraged by Paul to put on the full armor of God. Now, the Greek word for this full, put on the full armor of God is panoplia. And it means full armor. It means complete equipment, head-to-toe protection, for hand-to-hand combat. I mean, notice it's not a battle that's fought far off. It's not like you're sitting in a bunker far away and lobbing grenades somewhere else. No, this is a battle that is up close and personal. And so Paul is encouraging the church in Ephesus and us here today to remind us that the enemy is close. Whether we realize it or not, it is a personal battle going on for us here today. Now, Paul himself certainly knows about this spiritual battle. He faced it himself. He lived it. And we have some of the accounts of it kind of peppered throughout his writings. People tried to kill Paul. He was put in prison twice, stoned, left for dead, shipwrecked. And he writes these words from a prison cell, chained to a soldier. And the marching orders from Paul are clear. Stand. Stand firm. And in a few short verses, four times we see these words from Paul. Do you think that's an important message? Four times? He didn't say just once or twice or three times, but four times he tells them and us to stand firm. Well, where are we to stand? Well, he doesn't just tell us just to stand, but he tells us where to stand as well. And a couple of the references we see in verse 13 of our text. Let's read this verse together. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all this, to stand firm. Now, you would think if it were a battle, he would use words like fight and run and move and battle. But no, he tells them to stand your ground, to be immovable, to be anchored, to not be a doormat to the world around us today. Literally, the same Greek word for stand is the same word that is used for resist. That when we are under attack, our call is to stand firm in Jesus and His Word that is that shield of faith for us, and let God fight the battle. Now, it's not us doing the fighting. It's the Spirit. It's God fighting that battle through us. The Holy Spirit inside of us through His Word, through our life in Jesus as we take up the cross to follow Him. But as you read this text, He gives several tools that we carry with us in our tool belt. And that when we put on the full armor of God, well, what is this armor? Well, there's two important but unlikely tools, shoes and shields. Now, if we were to keep reading Ephesians 6, we would hear about several different battle tools that we wear in this battle. But there's two in particular I'd like to highlight this morning, the shoes of peace and the shield of faith. Well, what's the big deal about these two tools? Why shoes and shields? How can shoes help us, right? How do shoes help us in battle? Well, what's interesting about the shoe is soldiers who were to hold these shields are given special shoes to wear. Well, why are they given special shoes to wear? Well, shields are incredibly heavy things back in this time. And so they needed these special shoes because these shields are not these little nice round little shields we see in movies today, right? Or TV shows. The Greek word gives us a clue. You know, the particular shield that is translated in this text could also be translated as door, right? This is a big shield. It's literally like a heavy door that they're carrying, 2 by 3 feet, inches, and several inches thick. And I have a picture of a rendering here of what it might have looked like. And so they would hold these shields side by side and stand right next to each other, and it made a long line of shields like this next picture here. It made a makeshift kind of wall during battle, which maybe you've seen something like this in movies before. And if you stayed behind the shields during battle, you would be safe. But if you did not have this shield, if you were not protected by this door, you would be in trouble. Now, they couldn't have a soldier slip holding these shields as a part of this wall, and so they were given these special shoes with a 1.5-inch spike nailed to the sole of these shoes. They're like cleats, basically. And so when they stuck their feet in the ground, they were stuck in. They weren't going anywhere. Why is this important? Because they were anchored to the ground. They were anchored like we are when we live this shield of faith. When we carry this shield, it is our life. It anchors us in Jesus. And this is the picture Paul is painting to this church in Ephesus. A church that is grounding themselves, standing firm in Jesus, fully committed to going to battle. It is a church that was committed to standing with Jesus at the center of it all. It's a picture of the church God is growing in us as well, at Blessed Savior. God desires that we also be a church that stands firm, stands rooted in Jesus, that we are grounded in Christ alone. So let me ask you here today, where are you rooted? Where are you standing in your faith, in your life? How protected are you from Satan's attacks? Are you ready when those moments come? Because at the end of the day, battle lines have been drawn. Whether we see them or not, they are there. It's a battle as old as life that takes us all the way back to the book of Genesis, to the Garden of Eden. And the devil doesn't play fair, does he? He uses subtle tricks and schemes to trick us, not only Adam and Eve, but us here today. He is known as a deceiver, right? The father of lies for a reason. Half-truths. Battle lines are drawn from one tree to another, to the tree of the garden, to the tree of the cross, ultimately to the tree of life that we see written about in the book of Revelation. And we battle demons under Satan's control, because remember, there's only one Satan. And we can take comfort in that. But he has many demons, and they might not be, and this is a confirmation word, it's omniscient, all-knowing. Omni is all in that shint part is knowing. So the devil is not all-knowing, but he is observant. He knows human behavior, and so he watches and he waits. And so these fallen angels whom Satan has drafted into his rebellion against God are watching and waiting. And we feel it in our homes, don't we? Look at the staggering divorce rates and the troubles and relationships in our homes, the disconnected families in our world today. Loneliness and anxiety are on epidemic levels. And then look at social media and AI and the impacts of all of that, both positively and negatively, in our relationships and how we relate to one another. But at the end of the day, Paul's call is not only a warning, but it's an encouragement to do simply this. Two words: be prepared. If you were a Boy Scout, you know those are important words, right? To be prepared. Reminds me of a story, an old story about Harry Houdini. You guys know who Harry Houdini is, right? He's arguably the greatest escape artist ever to live. He has said that his success came down to preparation and timing. Only once was he caught off guard, and it may have cost him his life. He was an artist, for sure. He escaped from crates bound with chains at the bottom of a New York harbor. He dug his way out of graves and squirmed his way out of straitjackets while hanging in midair. And one day, a student named Gordon Whitehead hit him unexpectedly in the dressing room before Houdini braced himself. And he pushed through days of intense pain before seeking medical help and going to see a doctor. Is this just a guy thing? I don't know. And he seemed fine. He just kind of shook it off, just shake it off. Just everything will be fine. But everything wasn't fine. 10 days later, he was dead. What he didn't know at the time is he had a growing appendicitis. That hit that he had kind of kicked it in gear and urged it on. Houdini let his guard down. He was not prepared. You know, are we prepared? The word reminds us to be on guard. The enemy prowls around like a lion, seeking someone to devour. Are you prepared? Is your family prepared for that punch, for the job loss, the punch of a $5,000 noise you hear rooting around in your car engine? Is it ready for the punch of a family member going into hospice, not knowing what next steps and days are going to look like? Or is it the punch of some pain in your life that just won't seem to go away? At the end of the day, we can't face these battles alone, but God can. As Paul says in 2 Timothy 4, "The Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so through me the message of the gospel might be proclaimed." And then, those are powerful words, but the good news is the words don't just end there. He's not done talking. Paul goes on to say, "I was delivered from the lion's mouth." God is at work to bring that deliverance to us, our families, and our homes and lives as well through the sake of the gospel. And so the good news here this morning, as we kind of tie together the pieces of this message, is we can walk with confidence in the shielding power of God. You know, Paul finds confidence in God. Those tough times are like the classroom for our faith that grows and stretches us to become our best selves. Jesus knows this battle. Paul knew this battle. He faced it himself. But Jesus, he faced this battle on a cross as the shield that protected him when he hung on that cross moved away, as he felt the full brunt and force of our sin and the brokenness of this world upon himself. He felt the full weight of our sin on his back so we could be forgiven. And so he gives us life and forgiveness itself. We wear this cross as the shield in our baptisms. That, as Cody mentioned during the children's sermon a little bit ago, that those waters wash over us and in us and are a shield that protect us. As we're given God's name and his name is placed upon us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So whatever battles we face, we are not alone. As the psalmist says in Psalm 12, the Lord himself, God himself, watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade or shield. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon at night. But here's the thing. This does not mean that you won't feel the hot sun scorching on your life at times. This doesn't mean that we won't have really hard times. This doesn't mean that we won't face pain and struggle in this world. There will be times when we will get that punch in the gut. And life hurts, doesn't it? Life can really hurt at times. But it does mean that God is with you. The Lord himself watches over you. He stands beside you. He protects you with his shade, with his shield. And so Paul reminds us we have been given the shoes and the shields, the shield of the cross in which to stand. And so, brothers and sisters in Christ, shields up. It's time to get ready to face this world today, to stand firm in Christ alone, to stand firm behind Jesus, to anchor your feet deep into his unshakable grace, because the battle is very real. It's all around us. Just flip the switch and you'll see it. But the truth at the end of the day is the victory in that battle has already been won in Christ alone. Father, we come before you. We thank you for winning that battle for us on the cross. We do face some pretty big struggles, some pretty big battles in this world that drop us to our knees from time to time. We weep. We're sorrowful. We face loneliness, and we face the darkness and just the struggles of this world, but we can know that you don't let us walk this battle alone, as you yourself, the Lord Himself. You watch over us. You stand beside us. You protect us. Thank you, Father, for those incredible gifts of the battle that you've given us. A shield of faith and shoes of peace that not only protect us, but they help us in our relationship as we stand firm in you and you with us. Thank you, Father, for these gifts. In your name, we pray. Amen.